created us, Lord, was to be lifted up toward your presence. And there's only one way that that happens. Lord, it has to be planted. It has to grow. Lord, it has to push up through the dirt. And then the sun and the rain and the wonderful word of God blossom it and cause it to grow. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that you are the God in the field and the harvest. Lord Jesus, and as much as we continue to pray for those that do not yet know you, we also say, Lord Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to follow Jesus Christ. We want to look like you so the world knows who we serve. Lord, they're confused as they look at the church in general. They don't know if they're serving money, if they're serving fame, what they're serving. Lord, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are proud to declare you as the only sovereign and the only Lord. And so we pray now, Lord Jesus, your blessing on your word. You came and tented among us. Lord, the traveling show from the presence of God to this world. Lord, and you didn't sell the tickets. You gave it away free. Father, may we see what you intended in your word, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many remember before there was online catalogs and things you could order? How many remember before there were catalogs even? Okay. You remember when salesmen would travel and take the samples door to door? And they would take an exact replica of the piece that they are seeking to sell you. And you would know by everything that they would send, it was an exact dimension, except in smaller scale, so that you could see what the piece looked like. You could see the fabric. You could see the wood or steel or whatever it was made of. You could see the buttons. You could see all the little details. And it was exact. It had to be exact in order for the client or potential client to see exactly what they were trying to sell you. And that way you would go, okay, I know what that is. I like that piece. I think I'll purchase it. Do you know the Lord did that when he came to earth and when he sent his word and sent his son? He gave the exact representation in earthly form. And he showed us through the tabernacle of the Old Testament how it was done. And so this is just a beginning, beginning course on the tabernacle. And I'm going to be teaching on the tabernacle, not next week or next week, but throughout the fall. All the furnishings, the tabernacle was in three parts. You had the outer court, that's where the sin was taken care of. You had the holy place, that's where the showbread was, that's where the incense was, that's where the service took place for the Lord. Then you had the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat dwelled. And only the high priest could go in there once a year. And it was very holy. And it's extremely important that we understand the tabernacle, because it lays the foundation for how God not only wants to dwell on earth and us, but also who he is in heaven. Keep in mind the sample figure. You have a miniature of the original. The tabernacle in the Old Testament and how God furnished it and how he prepared for it is the exact representation of what's in heaven. Okay? Lord wasn't just drawing off a cuff. He was drawing off of what he already knows, because it's already in his presence. So the Lord wanted to reveal who he was. What did he do? He came down in physical form. And before he came in flesh, he came through the tabernacle. So I want you to turn to Hebrews, 8th chapter. Of course, we can read it up here, but I like to read it right from the bookie. And we begin with the high priest, because the high priest is the one that goes into the Holy of Holies And if it isn't for the fact that the high priest could go in and pay for that sin by the sacrifice, we'd have no image of who Jesus is. We'd have no idea. So the Lord had to prepare it of old so that we'd understand it. Hebrews 8:1-6. The point of what we are saying is this. We do not have such a high priest. In other words, he's saying the high priests in the Old Testament, they were called by God, yes, but they were not perfect people. Did you know that they had to sacrifice once for themselves first, and then they had to sacrifice for the people? But Jesus Christ, who was the real high priest, he didn't have to sacrifice for himself, did he? Because he was perfect. There's no sin there. So he is exceedingly above anything that's in this world. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. And every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. For there were already men who offered the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve as a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. Of what is in heaven. Okay? Remember what the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a mirror of what is in heaven. That's why the will of God is so imperative, by the way. Okay? That's not in my notes, but that's true. The will of God is imperative. Okay, so they serve as a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. And this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. And it is founded on better promises. How many are glad God keeps his promises? Telling you, if you could count all the broken promises in your life, you couldn't even count that high. But if you can count God's promises, they will always be fulfilled. Always. Because God never reneges. And so, God gave us a physical representation of his presence in heaven and how it operates. How do we know that? We know it this way. Take the holy place, which had the showbread, which was in two pieces. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. Who was broken for us? Who gave us communion? Jesus. The incense is the prayers of the saints. Do you know the book of Revelation says the incense of the prayers continually goes up before the presence of God? It's in heaven. Your prayers are still there until they're answered. I love that. They never die. Jesus Christ is a sacrificial lamb for us. That's in heaven. The lamb in the book of Revelation, he is still the lamb. God gives imagery all the way through here of this wonderful traveling temporary covering they call the tabernacle. So it starts here after issues about the high priest, because the high priest, again, was the main person who could go all the way into the Holy of Holies. In fact, he had little bells on the bottom of the garment there that if he did something he wasn't supposed to do, they would know to come and drag him out. But they couldn't go in to drag him. They had to pull him out with some kind of article to get him out of the holy place. So if you think God is a wuss, you're wrong. Somebody goes into his holy place unannounced, not clean, in their own selfish desire, boom. That's what happens. So, first of all, is the purpose. What's the purpose of the tabernacle? To reveal the glories of heaven, for one thing. And for another thing, to show the glory that came down. And so in this scripture, it's talking about the service of the tabernacle and the servant. The servant is the Lord, and it's his true sanctuary. Hey, did you know that this isn't our church? This is God's church. This is his sanctuary. People forget that. We shouldn't forget it. So this high priest, meaning Jesus, serves in the sanctuary. And the word serve in the Greek means a public servant, a minister, and it comes from a word belonging to the people. Do you know that he had to be a people? He had to be a human presence in order to be the Son of Man, to be the Redeemer, because otherwise he couldn't have given up his life. He had to be part of the family of man. That was imperative, okay? And it belongs not only to the people, but he also has to pay the price. It's at his own expense. His own expense. So it comes from the word belonging to the people and the works. And in classic Greek, it means to discharge public service, and they pay for it themselves. Don't you love the Lord? He paid for it. He gave you a ticket. He didn't renege on it. It's still there. If you don't take it, it's your own fault. But it's there. And he served publicly. Everything Jesus did, he did publicly. That's why when people say, well, I have a private faith. Well, yeah, you do, but you should have it public too, because people need to know. Jesus died publicly. Jesus spoke publicly. Jesus handed out Bibles, or he handed out the Word of God publicly. How else will people know the Lord is alive? The sanctuary, the Greek word hagios, it means sacred, set apart, holy. And it's different. It's a word that means different. How many know that the Church of Jesus Christ is not a business adventure? Now, we should be good stewards. The Bible says to be diligent in business. But ultimately, the sanctuary, the work of God, is not a business. It's holiness. It is to show the nature of God in holiness, in all that he is and all that he says. Church is not a conference room. It's not a sporting event. It's not an entertainment venue. It is a place of worship. And you're not supposed to worship the preachers or the teachers. We're supposed to worship the Lamb. I told somebody many, many years ago, she said, I know I'm only a Christian because of you. And I said, well, then you're not a Christian, because you're a Christian because of Jesus Christ. I said, don't worship me, because then Lord has to knock me down, and I know I'm short, so I don't have far to fall, but please don't do that. Always lift up Jesus. Always. How many are glad that though it's a holy place, we come as we are? We come as we are. But here's the problem, is the world wants to come as we are, but nobody wants to come as God is. We want to change him. Book of Romans is very clear, when you start scaling down who God is and make him in your image and the image of the world, God turns you over, which is what's happening in this country. We got to let God be God for who he is. And I got news. He's mighty and powerful. He's loving and gracious. But we have him as he is. Man, then you got church, because that's when miracles and deliverance comes. It says he serves in the true sanctuary. The word true here in the Greek means true, real, and genuine. Genuine. It's one of the things my sister Jan says about this church. She says, really, this is one of the only churches she's ever been in where people are genuine. You know, you can sniff out when people aren't genuine. You can almost smell it. And it's just been very impressed on her. Not because I'm the pastor, by the way. Okay. True, real, and genuine. It means to be made of truth and true to fact. Do you realize if God's word is not true, and if his church is not true, and we don't live true to him, everything falls apart. It dissolves. That's why the scripture talks about the armor of God, the belt of truth. If you don't have the belt on, which is truth, everything frays, nothing holds right, it all falls apart. It's absolutely imperative. It's not our truth. It's not the truth of this world. It's God's standard. And everybody's making their standards based on, well, they did this, so I'm going to do this. No, 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 no. We go by the standard of God's word. It has to be truthful, or it will fall apart. The tabernacle, the Greek word, means a booth or a tent. Remember in the Old Testament, they traveled in booths? And then they had a tabernacle set up, which is what we'll be talking about in the next couple months, but a booth. It was a place, a temporary covering for a specific purpose, but it was temporary. It was not to be longer than that. The other thing about this is interesting to me is the fact that when you think about the booths and the festival of booths, which is a commemoration of the wilderness wandering, it happens at the time, exactly the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the scripture that I had put in the bulletin, and Jesus came and tabernacled among us. That's how you know the timeline in the Bible, because God puts it so we can understand his coming in Bethlehem as a babe is the tabernacle. It is the physical dwelling of a holy God in a temporary place. But he's still God, isn't he? Inside the tabernacle, which when we get to it, it's gold furnishings. Deity on top of wood, on top of really the cross. It's a vision of the cross. But the tabernacle, the word, comes from the word ska, and it means to cover. Again, what do you see in here? The imagery of the atonement. To cover sin. And not temporarily, but permanently. How many are glad when he saved us forever? Okay. So, the booths were set up by God, not set up by man. I don't know about you, but I want God to set up things. I mean, if I set them up, I can guarantee you they're going to collapse. I already know that. But when God sets up things, he sets them up perfectly. And this word means to make fast, to fasten together, and to pitch a tent, and you got to have pegs and stuff to put in the ground. You know what the stakes are in the ground? The cross. That's what staked him to this world. It had to touch the ground. It had to touch earth. Or it had no change for this dwelling. Fastened what together? Fastened the people of God together. That's another aspect of the tabernacle, is God's people, God's house. It all fits together. It will all fit together when you understand exactly what he's done. So the purpose, obviously, is to reveal heaven to earth. And the second part is the pattern. And one of the words in here, it's a copy. A pattern is a copy of an original. It means a figure, an example, a copy, and a model. It's a representation. It's not the original, but it's more like a Xerox copy without any dust or junk on the glass so it doesn't show up. But it's an exact copy. That's why the Lord told Moses, you have to go detailed according to the plan I've given you. You don't adjust it. You remember back in, I can't remember if it was in the 80s when there was a skyway area, I think it was in Kansas City, and it collapsed with all kinds of people in it. And they found out later they hadn't built it, they hadn't squared it. If you don't go to detail when you're building something, you have a future collapse on you. No question about it. That's why the Lord said, detail. Don't make it up as you go along. Do what I've given you to do. It's a representation of heaven. I have given you the detail, and this copy is a sample of the original beauty of the presence of God. It says it's a shadow also. This is another great word. Shadow, thick as darkness, and it's an outline of something. You know what a shadow is? There's light that beams, and there's an object in the middle that casts the shadow. The Bible says that Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, he is the one, basically, who breaks up the shadow because he's what the image is all about. That light of the Word of God plays on who he is, and it casts a shadow. And you know, that's why we talk about in the great Shepherd Psalm, through the valley of the shadow of death, where there's shadow, there's light. That's why you can get through, because Jesus' presence is there. He's the one who brings you through. And everybody who's experienced that, you can say amen, because it's true. And the word pattern here is the architect's work. Do you know God's the greatest architect that ever existed? You ever look at architect sketches? You know, I've looked at a lot of them, like for different dresses and stuff. I got to tell you, the patterns and their drawings usually look better than the actual dress. It's the truth. It looks much better on the hanger. But you can't walk around with a hanger in your mouth, so that don't work. But the pattern that God has done is exquisite. And it's the word type. I took a number of courses in Bible school, typology, the understanding of God revealing himself through types, the Lamb of God, all kinds of different types of scripture. The word here means mark of a blow, to strike repeatedly. And what a type is, a pattern, is you have to press it down. Okay, repeated blows of the Son of God, repeated blows of his life, did what? It pressed an image of God's presence. I perceive you've been with Jesus. They didn't say Muhammad. They didn't say anybody else. They said, I perceive you've been with Jesus. The pattern has to be exact. And where there's a pattern, of course, there's an original. And this is the most important part. There's a purpose for the tabernacle. There's a pattern. There's a person. Jesus Christ. When we get into this, you'll find there's the outer court, which is where the sacrifice occurred, the holy place where the service occurs, and the Holy of Holies where the worship occurs, and the full sacrifice of sin. Jesus Christ fulfills them all. His body is the outer court. He paid the price for our sins. He's the one who took it out of his own skin for us, okay? Who is the bread of life? Who is the prayer? He's interceding for us right now. He is the holy place. You can't serve unless Jesus helps you. Holy Spirit has to give you gifts. God has to give you the heart to do it. You think it's in the natural? No, it isn't. It comes through Jesus Christ. And of course, there's no question, he is the Holy of Holies. He is the Ark of the Covenant. He is everything that God wants to reveal to us in the flesh. And so the Bible goes on to say here, he's most and more excellent, surpassing. Diaphoros comes from the word dia. That's its prefix. And that means through and to the other side. Only Jesus Christ can take us from the Old Testament to the New Testament into glory. Only Jesus Christ can take us from the depths of sin into the presence of Almighty God. Only Jesus can do that. He is the only one that has the excellence that can do this and show heaven to us, because he obtained a better ministry than anyone else. And the word obtained here means to hit upon, to meet and happen, to happen to find and reach a goal. It's actually the opposite of missing the mark, which is what sin is. Jesus was sinless. He's the one who hit the goal for us. This is why we follow him. And in the scripture it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the only one that completed it. That's why we look to him. If we look to anyone else, we're going to be sorry, because his is a better ministry. That word means stronger, more excellent, more fully developed. Did you know that every minister on earth that's ever lived, including Dr. Billy Graham, who we love, is still learning? And if you're not learning and if you're not a student, then you are not a minister. You're a self-proclaimed nothing. Jesus is all knowledge. He's already all knowledge. He's not learning. He's already got everything. He's the only one we should look to. And this word comes from a word, kratos, which means dominion, And it's talking about the superlatives of God, the good, which is God's adjective in creation, better, which is the story of Hebrews, and God's mighty power, which is the best we could ever be. Now, I'm going to cap this off with this. When God gives an illustration of something in the Bible, it always comes down to where we live, or it has no purpose. Okay? The tabernacle is in three parts: the outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies. Jesus fulfills all of those. Something else. God created us as a three-part being to be not a tabernacle, because that's a temporary dwelling, to be a temple. A temple is a permanent dwelling. Did you know the Lord doesn't want to come in and out all day? He wants to stay. You have a body. That is the outward temple. That is supposed to be sacrificed. I am supposed to give my body daily. Not for me, but for Him. That's the place of sacrifice. I have a soul. That's your mind, your emotions, and your will. That's the holy place of service to God. God wants you to use your mind. He wants you to use your will for Him. He wants you to use your emotions and have them under control. Don't let them be a breakaway freight train. And then the Holy of Holies is your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in upon conversion. Do you know that if the Holy Spirit's not in your spirit, nobody's there, because the devil can't live there? God created the spirit for Him to dwell there. And I pray that everybody's spirit in this place has the Holy Spirit working. Because if you don't, you got a big empty hole. And it's not a pleasant place. It's meant for the presence of God. We are not a temporary dwelling. God didn't intend us to be temporary. He intended a permanent dwelling in His image. And He gave us a tabernacle and all of its furnishings and all of its work, which is just fascinating, to give us the greatest understanding of who He really is and to show us that sample is an exact representation of His glory. If we don't understand it, we don't read it, we're never going to understand who God is. The greatest part of Bible school and studying the Bible for me was Leviticus and Hebrews. Understanding the Old Testament into the New. And I was reading one of those inserts that we had out there for one of the early church fathers, who was talking about taking the Old Testament into the New Testament. And he was one of the very rare people that have ever done that, at least at that time. This is why it's the whole counsel of God. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. And without the New Testament, the Old Testament is a burden. Need them both. Balance them out. So I'm going to go through the tabernacle, piece by piece, room by room, purpose by purpose. And I really want you to really understand what it is. Because when the Shekinah glory of God came down, all the people around the different cultures knew God was in house. You have to wonder in today's world. You can have all kinds of fanfare. You can have all kinds of numbers and everything else. But that don't mean God showed up. That could mean somebody's really good at emotionally making you feel guilty. That's the truth. They use more psychology than they do the Holy Spirit. And I've always been very careful about that, because it's the Holy Spirit's work. Because the problem with using the psychology and all the different ways to try to get people to give or whatever you want them to do is this: if they fall apart, you can't put them back together again. But if it's the work of the Holy Spirit, He will. Because only He knows how to. I was reading a quote which I thought was interesting. It said, when the early church fathers came together, they talked about the power of God. That's all that was on their mind. Man, you saw what God was doing. Modern church life, we get together, we talk about problems. We need to talk about the source. Did you know that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you? Now, it doesn't mean we can't share our problems with the Lord. God wants us to do that. But we need to more focus on who he is, because he already knows who we are, and he cares desperately about us. Please bow your heads. The Bible says that we are a three-part being, and that he will preserve our spirit, soul, and body. But he can only preserve what we put in his hands. He can't do it if we don't give it to him. The spirit we can't touch. If we ask Jesus as our Savior and we sincerely mean it, God has come to dwell in our spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we got to let him do his work. We can't argue with him all day long. Lord, you're in my life. You're in charge. You're the owner of the house. I give you full reign to do what you want to do. When the Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God in the wonderful holy place, he will be doing the renewal of your mind, because the mind is the thing that needs to be adjusted. The healing of the memories, the restoration of thought process. And all of those things happen in the holy place. And in the outer court, God expects us to surrender our bodies to him. That is the conflict of the book of Romans. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Father, I pray that you would get a hold of our vessels. They are to be temples of the Holy Spirit, a permanent dwelling for you. And may we, Lord Jesus, in full heart, say, God, it's better off in your hands than in mine. Lord, and you have your way as we consider the tabernacle, the tent that you brought and you made real in Bethlehem and all the way through to your crucifixion and ascension and resurrection. Lord, give us a joy to know you better. Lord, through that which you have explained and you have represented, show us the sample that we may understand the heavenly. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to take an offering for the folks in Myanmar, which is formerly Burma.